Our reading today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 1 through 26. Then Joseph threw himself on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. Joseph commanded the physicians in his service to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. They spent 40 days doing this, for that is the time required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. When the days of weeping for him were past, Joseph addressed the household of Pharaoh. If now I have found favor with you, please speak to Pharaoh as follows. My father made me swear an oath. He said, I am about to die in the tomb that I hewed out for myself in the land of Canaan. There you shall bury me. Now, therefore, let me go up so that I may bury my father. Then I will return. Pharaoh answered, go up and bury your father as he made you swear to do. So Joseph went up to bury his father. With him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, as well as all the household of Joseph, his brothers, and his father's household. Only their children, their flocks, and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. Both chariots and charioteers went up with him. It was a very great company. When they came to the threshing floor of Eted, which is beyond the Jordan, they held there a very great and sorrowful lamentation. And he observed a time of mourning for his father 7 days. When the Canaanite inhabitants of the land saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Eted, they said, this is a grievous mourning on the part of the Egyptians. Therefore, the place was named Abel Mizraim. It is beyond the Jordan. Thus his sons did for him as he had instructed them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field at Machpelah, the field near Mamre, which Abram had bought as a burial site from Ephron on Hittite. After he had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, what if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him? So they approached Joseph, saying, your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him and said, we are here as your slaves. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. I'm in the place of God. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones. In this way, he reassured him, speaking kindly to them. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were also born on Joseph's knee. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So Joseph made the Israelites swear, saying, when God comes to you, you shall carry up my bones from here. And Joseph died, being 110 years old. He was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sheldon. I kept looking for which parts of the verses to cut out so we could still get the story, and I felt like we just needed all of it. We've heard so much of Joseph's story, but this part, I can honestly say I've never read before. Or if I had, I didn't remember it. Joseph's story. So, there are many of you that could relate to the beginning of this passage that he read, that there's a time when you are with someone who's coming to the end of their time. And I've been told that grief can display itself in many ways. Sometimes it energizes us to get everything done, right? Think of those people who, as soon as something happens, the house gets cleaned, the notes get done, the phone calls get made, the food gets prepped, right? That's what a lot of people do when someone dies. They cook something, at least the people I know, and then they take it to the family, right? And then the family looks for freezer space, right? Or invites everyone to eat. It's beautiful, right? But grief is displayed in so many ways, and sometimes it leaves us stuck and unable to move or unable to do everyday things. I think that the stories of grief are an important part of our encounters with our own story and our own understanding of God being present in our lives. There are also times when we have danced with new love. Think of your story. Think of the times when you danced with new love, right? Or you held someone tiny or someone new. Think of your story about the important moments in your lives when you were present to witness something or someone. Sometimes we don't even know how important that moment is until later you look back on it and you realize it's one that you reference in your life. Throughout this last year, we have seen how God has invited people to participate in saving lives, in loving people, in being ambassadors of God, in restoring relationships. Their lives were not blissful because they said yes to God. That partnership they took on with God to do God's work in the world didn't make life super easy or awesome for all of them, right? Oh, do you remember the laughing and the crying? Yeah. And yet they said yes to God, and that was an important decision for them. It was one of those hard decisions in life that they chose and became part of their story. There are positive and negative turns in each of our lives. Each of those turns can be a point of remembrance. Utilizing the work of Donald Miller in a book, exercise book that he calls Storyline, Finding Your Subplot in God's Story, he invites us to think about our life as a continuum, with positive parts and negative parts. And some of those positive parts are short, smaller positives. And some are really big positives. And some are negatives. And some are really big negatives. Donald Miller takes Joseph's story and puts it on this continuum. So I was going to ask you if you would help me remember Joseph's story. First, born. Then what? He gets the coat of many colors, right? He has a dream, right? And he gets the coat, so he gets that coat from his dad, right? And he has a dream. And I think the dream about how he would serve God came before the coat, right? Oh, don't record this part, huh? No, but somewhere in here he had that dream. Yeah. So then he gets this coat, and he's about 17 years old, and then what happens to him, Alexander? He gets thrown in a pit by his brothers. Do you think that was a little bad or really bad?
Really bad.
Really bad. He gets thrown into a pit, and then what happens? How does he get out of the, yeah?
You're forgetting, I think, that one of the important things in his life is that he was given his gift to interpret.
Yes, his dreams. His dream interpretation understanding, yep. That happened before the coat, before the pit. Yes. And then what happened? He was sold into slavery. Bad or really bad? Really bad. Sold. Okay, all of this happened, and we're only in the first 17 years of his life. Then something good happened. Do you remember, Alexander?
Like he worked hard enough and Pharaoh earned his trust.
Even though he was a slave, he worked in Pharaoh's household, and he was trusted by Pharaoh, wasn't he? Yeah, and then Pharaoh's wife, or a woman, did something terrible, didn't she? Do you remember? She wrongly accused him. Probably, again, really bad, huh? Yeah, what happened when he was wrongfully accused? He was put in prison. Now, he made the best of it. That's what I was reminded. He did so good in there that he kind of got to be a leader there. Right there in the prison, he got to kind of be trusted again. They thought he was so great, he was being trusted again. And then something happened. Yeah, Alexander?
Pharaoh had two dreams and he told them about it.
Okay, so before that, some people in the prison had a dream. And he interpreted it, right? He interpreted those dreams. And then he said, when you get out, will you remember me and help me get out too? And they got out, and guess what? They forgot about him. Yeah, he stayed there for 2 more years. Yeah. But then what happened, Alexander?
Then
Pharaoh?
The Pharaoh told his wine taster guy that he'd been having strange dreams and he couldn't tell them what about, and he asked them what they needed. He didn't know, but then he remembered Joseph and Joseph.
Yeah, so then he got to get out and interpret Pharaoh's dreams. He got to come before Pharaoh, right, and interpret his dreams, right? And then what happened to him, in a big sense? What? Yes?
He was free again, and he got to help.
He got to be the helper. He was, yeah, I think Dale calls it being the number two, right? He got to be Pharaoh's best guy, right? And he got left in charge of a lot of things. And then he had a dream about famine and about plenty, right? And then we could get into a whole bunch of his story with his brothers coming, which was a little sad. Right, his brothers came, and then he played a trick on them and hid that thing in their bag, so they looked like thieves, and they got in trouble. Right, not such a great moment, probably. Yeah, right. But then they had feasts there, and he was in charge of filling those barns and making sure everyone had enough. Right, and then they had famine. Right, and they still had enough. So even though it was a bad thing, it was still going okay because he had planned for it. Right, and then somebody came to him because they were hungry. Do you remember who came to him when they were hungry? His brothers came to him, and they said, "Oh, please forgive us and feed us." Right, and they brought their father to him. This author says that was a big, important happiness. He got to have his dad come and be with him. Did I get that right? See, now I get nervous. That's his name, right? Yeah. So he got to have his dad with him. So even though the world was living in famine, he got to have his dad, right? And then in the end, it says that actually these first 17 years sound pretty horrible, and the next, like, 10 were pretty not so great either. But by the time he was about 40, his life kind of evened out, and he got to be with his brothers. He had a good job. He was doing good things for good people. He got to be with his dad. He got to experience love for like 70-some years. So we often think about the 40 years of, ugh, right? We have to remember there was also 70 years of beauty, right? And then Sheldon read to us kind of the end of his dad's story is when his dad died. It's probably a really sad day, right? But he followed his dad's wishes and did what he could. And he got to live a little longer. And then his brothers were afraid. You read about how his brothers were afraid that now the dad was gone, why was he going to like them anymore, right? Yeah. But what happened? What happened? Alexander?
He forgave them.
He forgave them. Again. I bet he kind of was like, I already did this, but okay. you know, if you need to hear it again, I forgive you and I love you, right? I forgive you and I love you, and he got to share life with his family. Now, this is one way to think of Joseph's story, to think about the milestones in his life. Now, if we were to write our own story, we might have, I was born, I went to school, I went on vacation, I learned to ride my bicycle, right? And now I'm going into new school. This is for a younger person's timeline, right? Yeah. Or you might say, I was born, and I went to school, and I went to another school, and then I got to go to a bigger school, and then I grew up, and then I went to more school. This is not a fun timeline, is it? And then I went to more school. Then I got to drive my first car, and I got engaged. Not quite my timeline story. Alexander, would you help me, please? Friends, I would like you to think about, would you go hand these out, start in the back. I would like you to think about what items might be on your timeline. What happened in your life that is important enough to remember or comes back out at good or bad times. You were born. The start of all timelines, right? You were born. Are there other things? You were loved. You got to share life with someone, maybe. Maybe graduation was a huge step for you. Maybe you're still willing to, getting excited about graduating. Maybe that's still coming up for you. Maybe there's a time in life where you volunteered for something and it changed your heart. It made you realize. Two Fridays ago, I got to volunteer at the high school in Mount Horeb. And we did this simulation, and I thought it was no big deal. I was just helping out because they needed more adults. More adults who can pass a background check. That's me. Yeah. So I went, and you know what? I left there that day, and I told everybody I encountered that I just got reminded about how important compassion is in this world, and that I was hoping that the 50 high schoolers that participated in that simulation will at some point in their life remember how important it is to show compassion and mercy and to help each other out. I got to do all that while pretending to be a DOT worker and saying, oh, your license is terrible. Want to try again? Yeah. Yeah. But I got to be reminded of how important that is. Our life stories have many different parts, right? There's the part of my story where I accepted Christ, right? And then there's the part of the story where I was at camp. Yeah, in my story, and I felt the Holy Spirit yell at me in a very interesting way, right? There are different places that you have been in your life where you have experienced God. There are different times that you've heard God or felt a long ways away from God. All of those are part of your story, and I invite you to think about them. The church's story was born at Pentecost, but it's not over. It looks different. It's shaped different. The buildings are different. The languages are different. Sometimes even the Bible translations are different in the songs, right? The songs change. But the church was born at Pentecost, and it lives on today. The Word of God is not just in the book, the Bible, right? It's not just in this one book, but it's in how you've encountered God in many ways, in many places. It's not just available on Sunday mornings in this place. But the Word of God is living and breathing in us and around us and through us because of the Holy Spirit's work in this world. We learn the stories so that we can know the history of the church and so that we can understand where God has been present, the characters of our faith. But we also learn the story so that we can see God alive in this world, so that we can recognize God out there, so that we can be familiar enough with God, with Jesus, so that when we see people acting like Jesus, we recognize that. And so that when we hear someone say that we should act more like Jesus, we know what they're talking about. That's why we learn the book. My hope is that you will also find a way to understand your story, whatever framework you choose, but that your story is something you can share with others. I was told you should always have a 1-minute version, an elevator version, the 5-minute version, and then the longer one. So often we get nervous and we start writing the longer one, right? Well, first I was baptized and then, no, right? What is the short version? What is the medium version? What is the long version of your story? Joseph's story continues to be life-giving for me. Many, many chapters in the Old Testament, right? About, I think 13 chapters about Joseph's life in the Old Testament, right? And at times, I have resonated with different parts of Joseph's story, different characters even in Joseph's story. Some days I feel like those brothers who want to throw someone in a pit. True. Some days I feel like I've been lifted out of a pit. Some days I'm way too nervous to speak what God has revealed to me. And other times I say, please don't forget me. Joseph's story gives us each a chance to connect with an old and sacred story, to share in his feelings and his questions, to wonder, maybe, is it worth telling the truth? What will it cost me? To be excited about how God has been present. Like Joseph, I've also had days of weeping, days of planning, and days of burial. I've given order for things that needed order, and I have loved when I could love. And I've returned, hopefully, to my family. I don't think I'm the only one that can connect to Joseph's story. In fact, I think each of you can. And if you don't like Joseph, choose someone else. But Joseph has a lot of opportunities for us to see how people can be misunderstood, how emotion can get in the way of relationship, and how forgiveness heals. Are there parts of that that connect with you? That's your homework that you have in your hand today. To think about your story. Now, it might not fit on that page, or if you're like my kids, it might be way too many spaces, right? But how have you encountered God's love? How have you been an ambassador of God's love in this world? How has compassion or mercy or grace been restored for you? Even at the cell phone shop, right? What is your subplot with God? Dear friends, I pray that this time, whatever it is for you today, this week, this month, that this time will be a time for you to better know yourself, to better know God, and to continue to be open to the movement of the Spirit, just like the people were at Pentecost. I pray that you will consider, if you will, what your impact might be. What are you willing to do in the name of God for work in this world? My Sunday school handout for today said, each person should write down my world impact, my community impact, and my life impact. Now that felt a little too big for me. So I like to think of it, how will I make God a priority in my life? And how will that priority be made known? How will I be open to the Holy Spirit? I pray that you will be, that you will let the Holy Spirit move you, light you on fire, warm your heart, whatever it may be. I pray that for you this day and always. Amen.